Well, we've read the story about what happened at Easter. We've sung about a resurrected Jesus and the difference that he makes in our life. But I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning about why this day makes a difference in your life. You ever heard of the Chronicles of Narnia? You know, those are some classics. They've made a few movies out of the books. And of course, the movies are a little bit different than the book because they, you know, had to Hollywood them up a little bit. But C.S. Lewis, who was an atheist turned Christian, he wrote the books. And the story, you know, it really revolves around Narnia. And in one particular book, the third book in the series called The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, it tells the story of Edmund and Lucy, who are siblings, and their cousin, who is named Eustace Scrub. What a great name, man. Eustace is arrogant, and he's selfish, and he's unfriendly, and he's annoying, and nobody really likes him very much. And during their travels through Narnia in this particular book, the children end up on this mysterious island. And Eustace wanders off by himself, and he ends up stumbling into a cave of a dragon who has accumulated a great amount of wealth and gold. It's heaped up in big piles. And Eustace, who's a greedy little kid, he realizes that he could be the richest man in all of Narnia. And so he begins to dream and think about what it would mean to be this rich man. He decides he's going to keep this treasure all to himself. And he gets so excited over it that, well, he actually gets tired and falls asleep right down on top of all the dragon's riches. When Eustace wakes up the next morning, he finds that he has been transformed into a dragon. He sees his reflection in the lake and realizes that he's nothing but a monster. And C.S. Lewis writes in the book, sleeping on a dragon's hoard with greedy, dragonish thoughts in his heart, he had become a dragon himself. Because when you're in Narnia, if you think dragon thoughts and you do dragon things, eventually you're going to become a dragon. And poor Eustace isn't who he used to be. He isn't what he wanted to be. Eustace is a dragon, and so he sadly walks out into the forest and begins to wander around. He is alone. He's confused. He's depressed. He finally just figures out, I guess there's no way for me to be undragon. There's no hope for change, and so I'm just going to embrace my new identity. And that's the precise moment when he meets the lion, Aslan. And if you don't know the books very well or know a little bit about C.S. Lewis, Aslan really represents Jesus in these stories. And Aslan looks at Eustace in the eyes and he tells him to come, he motions for him to come follow him. And so Eustace follows him and Aslan leads him up into this mountaintop garden near this well of clear water. And at first, Eustace is confused. He's there. He doesn't know why Aslan has called him here. But then Aslan tells him to undress himself. So Eustace tries to free himself. He painfully tears away at the scales that have, you know, overwhelmed his body that he's encased in. And yet he finds every time he starts to tear one layer away, there's another layer of scales under it. And under that layer of scales is another layer of scales. And finally, he's in pain trying to undragon himself. He simply can't do it anymore. And so he whimpers to Aslan in defeat and gives up. And Aslan says, "You will have to let me undress you." And so Eustace reluctantly and fearfully agrees to let Aslan shed his scales. And so Aslan tells him to lay down. He lays down on his back. And Aslan reaches down his enormous claws into Eustace's chest. And it's painful and it hurts. But Eustace endures and Aslan pulls in there and Aslan pulls out a little whimpering boy, trembling, dripping in filth. It's Eustace. It's the boy Eustace. And Aslan throws Eustace's pale body into the waters of the well. And in a few moments, Eustace breaks through to the top of the surface of the water. He gasps for air, and he's no longer a dragon. He's the boy that he was created to be. He is washed and he is clean and he is changed and he's made whole. And his friends are no longer scared of him. And in fact, when his cousin Edmund sees Eustace, he exclaims, "You have been undragoned." The story connects with me because I have found myself dragoned. I found that sometime in my life, I had become something that I never intended to be. Do you know what I mean? I mean, you ever been there to realize that your life, that something happened to you somewhere and things begin to stick to you and like scales on a dragon, another skin begin to develop on you? Maybe you can relate to how Eustace became a dragon. Whereas, you know, you and I get wrapped up in our sin. We get wrapped up in our selfishness. We become engulfed in hurt and worry and pain and anger. And layers of scales begin to develop on you and I. We become dragoned by jealousy and pain and ambition and desire and lust. Eustace became a dragon overnight, but for you and I, very often, it happens very slowly. You know, it's just one poor decision at a time. It's just one giving into one temptation at a time. It's just, you know, and then one day you look up and you go like, who am I? You had plans. You knew what you wanted to be. You knew what you wanted to do with your life. You knew where you wanted to go. And then all of a sudden, you look up and you go like, I don't know what happened to that person. It's like they're gone. Failures, disappointment, unmet expectations. They can all work to turn you into a dragon. Year after year after year. You may not even be sure how you got there. But you find layer upon layer of scales. A few years ago, funny, the group Imagine Dragons, they had a Billboard Top 20 called Monster. And here's part of the lyrics. If I told you what I was, would you turn your back on me? And if I seemed dangerous, would you be scared? I get the feeling just because everything I touch isn't dark enough that this problem lies in me. I'm only a man with a candle to guide me. I'm taking a stand to escape what's inside me. I've turned into a monster, and it keeps getting stronger. You know what they're talking about? You ever had that feeling? Like life stuck to you? Your failure stuck to you? Your sin stuck to you? They impacted your life. They impacted your family. Next thing you know, you look up and you're not the person that you want to be. You're not the person you plan to be. You're not the person that God made you to be. Bible talks about us becoming something we're not meant to be. Isaiah 53:6. All of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. And I love the way it puts it in the Message. We've all done our own thing and gone our own way. And we have, haven't we? And there's an impact on our life when we do that. Paul talked about it in Romans 1. He's talking about us. He says, they have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They're gossip, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. You ever just read the newspaper and wonder, like, really? They're inventing new ways to be evil? They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. We've all been there. Because none of us has lived a perfect life, have we? We've all become dragons at some point in our life. And it's a very scary realization. Like the song said, we wonder if people knew what we were, if they would despise what we've become. We start to wonder whether people still love us. We start to wonder, try to figure out all kinds of solutions to undragon ourselves. We're sort of like Eustace. We start tearing at our scales, right? We try to get our life back. We try to make it better, so we try to make better decisions, better choices. But we struggle to discern which one are going to lead us to a better life. and which ones are going to stick. There's not a one of us that hasn't tried some kind of self-improvement on ourselves, right? Say, oh, I'll just next time I'll do better. Next time I'll do better. And then the next time comes and we fail again or we stumble over something. And we want to be free. I mean, we long to be free. We long to be done with all this. We want to take the scales off, and every time we seem to tear one layer away, it seems like there's another one. Like Eustace, we exhaust ourselves. So you know what some of us do? Sometimes we just go, we just accept it and let it become our identity. Well, I guess that's just the way I am. I guess that's just the way I'm gonna be. That's just the way I was made. That's just the way I'm bent. And we begin to accept that new identity as a dragon. Here's what I want to tell you today, and what I found true in my life. That's this. That God can free you from your dragon. That whatever identity you came in here with this morning, you don't have to live with for the rest of your life. That's what Easter is about. It's about a change. It's about new life. That it's about the power of God in your life to change you and help you to become the person that God created you to be. That you don't have to be your dragon. You don't have to be your worst fears. You don't have to be your deepest pain. You don't have to be your deepest struggles. You are more than that through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for you and I and was raised again on the third day. You can be free. You can be free. Like Eustace, we have to let Christ undragon us. There's Romans 3, verse 21. It says, but now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. Doesn't matter who you are. This is for you. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's gracious standard, yet God freely and graciously declares that we are righteous. He did this through Jesus Christ when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. God sent Jesus to undress us so that we could experience everything that God created us for. And I love that image in the Chronicles of Narnia, how Aslan reaches in there and he takes who Eustace really is, and he pulls him out from all that greed. He pulls him out from all of the sin, and all, he just pulls him out and he throws him in the well and he cleans him up. If that's not baptism, I don't know what that is, and we'll talk more about that next week. But the reality is that's what he does for us, and the fact is that he can pull us out. And that's what God's been doing from the very beginning. And boy, you see it in the life of Jesus in his ministry over and over again. Jesus came in contact with people who weren't living their best life, who weren't living what God created, people who had dragons that had changed them, that they were captive to. And you kept seeing Jesus time and time again in his ministry free those people. For instance, in John chapter 8, there was a woman that some of the religious leaders, they found her committing adultery with a man who wasn't her husband. And so they drug her out in front of Jesus, naked. Can you imagine how ashamed she felt to be thrown into the dusty street, naked, embarrassed, ashamed? I bet if you were to look in her high school yearbook, it did not say that when she got to be the age that she was, that she really did hope that she was found sleeping in some hotel with a married guy who was never going to leave his wife, and that a mob came in, knocked down the door, and then threw her naked in the street, and so she could listen while they had a meeting about killing her. Don't think that was her hope. I don't think that was her desire. This wasn't what she had hoped for. They were trying to trick Jesus. The law said, the law said to stone her. And so they knew that if they, they were trying to embarrass Jesus. And so, do you agree or disagree? And if he said, you know, no, then they would say, well, he's a sinner too. He doesn't even obey God's law. And if he said yes, they said, look how mean and heartless and intolerant he is. Jesus didn't immediately answer, though. Instead, he wrote in the dust. And then he looked around and he said, well, you're right. Law says to stone her. So if you've never sinned, you throw the first stone, and then all the rest of you of us will just jump in with you. By the way, that's Brian Davis' version of the story. So, and slowly what you heard rocks begin to drop. Because everybody there knew. They knew they'd failed too. They knew they'd struggled until everybody was gone. Everybody. And here was this ashamed, embarrassed, humiliated woman there with Jesus. And what did he do? He showed her mercy. He helped her from the dirt. He covered up her nakedness and her shame. And he said, you know what? This isn't who you were meant to be. Go and sin no more. Go live free. There's a better life for you. Instead of giving her what she deserved, Jesus gave her what she needed. And he pulled this broken, embarrassed, shame-filled woman out of her dragon. Only Jesus could undragon that woman like that. There was another time Jesus was in a boat and he came to the shore. And as soon as he hopped out of the boat, this crazy guy came running down the beach. He's foaming at the mouth. He's demon-possessed. And the demons forced the man to kneel in front of Jesus and they screamed out, what do you want with us, Jesus? And the guy used to live a normal life. This guy used to have a job. He used to have a family. And according to Lloyd Ogilvie, he says, you know, it's just a series of bad choices after bad choices opened up his life to fear and doubt and worry and paranoia until the enemy had just a wide open door to come in and consume him. And he ended up living in the cemetery. During the night, he would cut himself on sharp rocks. And he would literally howl at the moon. And people could hear him and it scared them. I mean, you know, you don't think in middle school, he said, one day I hope to live in a cemetery, be a crazy man and literally howl at the moon every night. No, this isn't what he planned on. This isn't what he wanted to be. But then he met Jesus. And the demon said, leave us alone. And Jesus, he loved this guy too much to do that. And so he cast out the demons. And then he talked to the man, the spirits. When they went away, Jesus and the guy just sat on a rock and began to have a conversation. And by the time the townspeople got out there, he was clothed and in his right mind. And a lot of them had never seen that before. It was such a change that people were scared of Jesus, asked him to leave. And when Jesus was leaving, the man said, I want to go with you. And you know what Jesus said to him? Listen to these words. Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. Tell people how you've been undragoned. Go tell everybody how God reached in and grabbed the man that he created and pulled him out of that demon-possessed carcass, of those demon-possessed scales, and cleaned him up and set his mind right. This is what Jesus does. He reaches into you and I, and he pulls us out, and he sets us up so we can be everything that God created us to be. One more. When Jesus died on the cross, he was hung between two thieves, and one of them joined the crowd and began to torment him, you know, and begin to challenge him like, hey, save yourself and save us. The other guy, though, the other thief said, hey, we're suffering because we deserve. We've done things. We deserve to be up here dying. And he looked over at Jesus and he said, Jesus, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? And Jesus said, I assure you today, you will be with me in paradise. And right there, right at the end of Jesus' life before he died on the cross, he undragoned someone else. This man confessed him and he freed him of his dragon before he died. All the scales of his past life, all the ugliness that he had done, all fell away. And there is story after story after story like this in the Bible. Story after story like this in the Gospels, particularly with Jesus. You say, well, Pastor, I didn't come today expecting to hear a sermon about dragons. I mean, I'm going to watch Game of Thrones tonight for that. What are you talking about? But here's the thing. This story of Eustace being undragoned is what Easter morning is all about. When Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and for mine, he made us right before God. When God raised him up from the dead, he gave new life. When he came out of that tomb alive, when he was risen from the dead, he undragoned all for all of us the biggest, baddest, most awful dragon of all, and that's the dragon of death. He freed us from the scales of sin, from the layers of hurt and brokenness, of poor choices and bad decisions, of anger and lust and greed, so we could be free. Free with power. You know, we sing that song sometimes, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. We're empowered to live free. We're just not freed from chains and, you know, let off on shore to just whatever. Man, God has come and empowered us and cleansed us, and he works inside of us that power to live for him and have a new life. That's the good news of Easter. He's alive and you can be too. He's alive and you don't have to be dead or shackled. Boy, we sung about being free from the chains, right? Being free from the scales to live in the power of what God has done. He defeated the dragon of death. He's risen. He's been undragoned so that I don't have to be enslaved to my shame like that woman, my humiliation. He's freed me so that I don't have to give in to the demons of fear and anger and worry and lust and greed. And you know the story on the cross, you know why that one matters so much to me? Because that means it doesn't matter how far you've gone, it doesn't matter how far it's been, it's not too late. It's not too late. Some people say, well, I've already made a mess. No, listen, God can redeem that. If he can redeem the life of a man hanging on a cross about to die, a man who couldn't get off the cross and go make restitution to everybody, and a man who couldn't get off the cross and go make everything right, if he can forgive him, he can forgive you. He can help you. He can undragon you today as long as you're still breathing. Elbow the person beside you. Make sure they're still breathing. Okay, everybody then, okay? We're going to be talking over the next few weeks about being undragoned and what it looks like to live an undragoned life. And if you don't have a church home, I would love for you to come back just the next few weeks and hang out with us and learn more about this, because there's a lot of awesome stuff in this book about how we can live a free and undragoned life. But I wonder this morning, as we're here today on Easter Sunday, I'm wondering if somebody is here this morning and has been disappointed with the way their life has turned out. Maybe you look in the mirror and you don't even really recognize the person that you see. Maybe you're not the person that you started out to be. Maybe you made some mistakes when you were younger and you've always been scarred by that. And while you've asked God to forgive you, you've never completely forgiven yourself. Maybe this morning there's somebody who's here today and you're captive, you're a slave to some sin, some habit in your life, whether that might be pornography or you might be captive today to anger. Someone hurt you and you are so mad, and try as hard as you can't get loose from that anger, and you feel the scales this morning. Boy, wouldn't today be a great day to be undragoned? Wouldn't today be a great day to say, God, I need you to reach down into my pain and my hurt and my sin this morning. I need you to reach down into whatever it is today. I need you to pull me out, because I want to be what you created me to be. Jesus died on the cross so you could be free. Jesus died on the cross so that you could be right with God. But more than that, Jesus was raised from the dead so that you could live empowered to overcome whatever it is this morning that's holding you back and keeping you back. Maybe this morning you're not a Christian, you're not a Christ follower. Maybe you're here today and somebody drugged you here with the promise of banana pudding for lunch, you know, or something. And you're here this morning and maybe while we've been singing something today or praying something today, or maybe during the message this morning, there's something inside of you, the Holy Spirit's just talking to you and saying, I want to be free. I want to be free. Jesus said that he came to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. You can have that life this morning. Would you just bow your heads with me this morning for just a moment? Father, I am so grateful that Jesus is alive. We sense your presence here today. As we've sung these songs and listened and prayed and read scripture. And God, during the message this morning, it's not about anything that I would say, but God, there's something that your Spirit's been speaking to our hearts. Would you just ask God right now, God, speak to my heart right now. David said, look inside me and see if there be any wicked way inside me. Let me know, Father, is something out of alignment? Is there something sticking to me? If you're here this morning and maybe you've never accepted Christ and you've never said, you know what, I want what Jesus did on the cross to count for me so I can be right with God. Right now, you can just ask him. Say, Lord, I'm tired. I'm tired of being enslaved to sin and habits. I'm not what I started out to be. I've let stuff derail me. I've let things stick to me. I need to be clean today. Would you forgive me for my sins? I want what Jesus did on the cross to count for me this morning. Let what Jesus did count for me. With every head bowed and every eyes closed, I just wonder if you pray that prayer this morning, would you raise your hand? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God, I'm grateful and thankful for those who have invited you into their heart and life this morning. God, for those of us who have been followers of you, it's so easy to let stuff start sticking to us. I wonder right now, would you just pray and say, God, is there anything in my life that I need to confess? Is there anything that I need to be washed this morning? Anything that's become too important? Maybe you know this morning, maybe you're angry for something and you just need to say, God, help me forgive. Maybe there's a lust or envy or jealousy or something that's sticking to you this morning. Say, God, take me out of that. Remove me and clean me up. Oh, God, forgive me. Set me free. God, this morning, that's all our prayer. Will you set us free this morning? And not just set us free, but in the resurrection, we're reminded that we can walk this week in the power of that freedom. God, don't just forgive me today, but Lord, today put your Spirit in me to empower me to go out this week and not live in bondage anymore. I love the fact you're taking the chains off, but now God, help me to walk so I'm never enslaved again. Give me the power and the strength to say no to the enemy and yes to you in every way and in everything. And we will give you all the praise and all the glory in the strong, strong name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hey, you know what? Some folks here this morning accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. I think we ought to give some praise for that. Now, if you raised your hand this morning, you accepted Christ, I'd love for you to give me a holler this week, and we would love to help you transition in your journey and give you some things to help you to grow in Christ. I want you to be reminded, too, you know, one of the best ways around here to get connected is in our community groups. We have some that meet during the week, but we have a lot that meet at 9:15 on Sunday mornings. That's right, we don't have breakfast every week. It'd be nice. But we do have community groups, and that's a great way to have folks gather around you. We believe in going together on the journey. And so we would love to have you come join us and be a part of that as well. If you don't have a church home, help you come back over the next few weeks as we continue in this series and talk about not just being undragoned, but how to continue to live undragoned. We're so glad you came today. If you're a visitor here, again, I hope you'll come see me back there at the table. And thank you for being here today and being a part of this. It's good to see families worshiping together. Some of you, the Greens, I've never seen Dana smile so big to have all his kids back home. But yeah. People are clapping because you smiled. Anyway. Hey, will you stand with me this morning? The praise team's going to lead us in a benediction today, and then you're going to be dismissed. Have a blessed and happy Easter. Thanks for being here.